You're listening to The Purple Mystic, a podcast for the modern witch, with your host, Natalie Sedgwick. Good morning, Broom Riders. I am Natalie, and I am welcoming you back to another episode of The Purple Mystic, a podcast for the modern witch. Today, I wanted to take a few moments and talk with you guys about magical allies, things and creatures and people that we can call upon for help in our spell work. This is a topic that I think gets kind of swept under the rug. You'll see it mentioned in a few books, especially when you're first starting out and you're trying to absorb, but there's not really a lot of discussion about how to utilize the help of these creatures. And I want to be really careful about what I say here, because you have to remember that these creatures are living beings as much as we are. Just because we don't see them or hear them, they exist within that spiritual realm. So they are as real as you and I. And you need to approach their assistance with a sense of respect, first of all. If you keep respect in mind, I think it won't be a problem. But I did want to talk about some of the different magical beings that are out there that we can call upon for aid in spellcraft, protection, and all kinds of other things. The first group of allies I wanted to talk about are the elementals. And what I like about the elementals is they take us back to our roots of being within that basic pentagrammal state, I guess would be a good way to put it. It connects us back to those most basic elements that make us who we are. And that would include undines, gnomes, sylphs, and salamanders. Sorry. I was going, what did I miss? Fire, salamanders. So let me talk about what those creatures are in terms of how they relate to the elements. And then I'll go into how we can gain their assistance in our craft and our day-to-day practice. Undines comes from a Latin word und, which means wave. Obviously, they're related to the element of water. They are first named. All of the elementals were first specifically given a name by Paracelsus, and it was a long time ago. So I do not remember the year off the top of my head when he wrote his book about the elemental characters. But, and I don't want to say characters, it's not a good word, elemental beings. But undines come from the water and are related to the water. Now, there are a lot of other creatures that live in the water. Honestly, if you look at it from a shamanic perspective, you can call on the spirit of any particular animal that lives within the ocean or within freshwater systems to aid you in a working where you are working with the element of water. But undines are the elemental. They're like the overall, I guess, spirit element of that particular element. That was a strange statement. Gnomes relate to the earth. Salamanders relate to fire. And sylphs relate to air. So I encourage you, if you aren't familiar with these, to just kind of do a little Google search for images. Every artist has their own image of what these beings look like or appear as or what have you. And it's my belief that these creatures are specifically spiritual. So they don't necessarily have a physical form, but within our minds as humans, because we are limited by the physical world, we need some representation of that, right? So if you look at the images, you can incorporate those into sigils. You can relate those elementals to things for yourself. What I like to do is go into meditation and just sit down and just think about the elements that these creatures relate to, and then kind of see what image comes into my own mind to create my own image of whatever element I'm working with at that time, whatever elemental I'm asking for assistance. Now, that is something I want to bring up right now out of the front. With any creature, being, spiritual ally, magical ally, whatever you want to call them, any of the things that I discuss here deserve respect. And you don't want to just call on something to aid you without offering something of yourself in return, or offering something in return. So whenever I am calling upon an elemental, or say I'm wanting to work with the fae energies, or I want to work with a dragon, or I want to work with a servitor of some sort, I'm creating a servitor, you have to remember that these are living beings and deserve respect. So giving them something to thank them for their time, their energy, and everything else is always a good idea. When it comes to undines, I will go to the water and I will usually cast in maybe like a flower, or sprinkle more water into the water. Although that seems kind of counterintuitive, I have found it to be very useful. I will maybe take a piece of my hair and offer it into the water. Depends on what water I'm talking about. Obviously, I don't want anyone polluting the waterways with a lot of stuff that doesn't need to be there. So I avoid things that are not natural of their own right. And I try to find things that relate to the water itself, something that would occur in the water naturally, or might fall into the water naturally, like I said, flowers or plants or something like that, that won't cause any damage to that element, because obviously it's kind of a slap in the face to offer a gift that's going to be something that's damaging to that element. So I just ask you to be mindful of that. When I'm working with fae energies, I will often leave honey and milk in a bowl. I'll mix them together and put them in a bowl and put them out in my garden and make a statement that that is an offering to the fae, in appreciation for any assistance or guidance that they can give me in whatever working I'm doing. When it comes to gnomes, they deal with the earth elements. They are the earth elemental. And gnomes, there's a lot of kind of debate in whether gnomes is the proper nomenclature. I've seen them called pygmies also. But when you are talking about earth energies, for me, it's always been gnomes. My grandmother had a book on gnomes, and I don't remember where she got it from. I'm sure a lot of what's in there is probably not accurate, but it was a book that came out, you know, all about gnomes and their cute little red and blue hats and all of that. So that's what comes to my mind. And so that is the energy I choose to work with. But gnomes are creatures that are of the earth. They mine the earth. So they are very invested in preserving the element of earth itself and all of her resources. So when I'm doing a working, like maybe a healing working for the earth itself, I may call upon the gnomes to aid me and ask for their assistance in that. I'm always asking. When I say call upon, that means I am calling out to, and I am asking, would you please assist me in this? This is my goal. I always clearly state my goal at the outset of my working, when I am asking for a magical ally to aid me in that. When it comes to the element of fire, salamanders are the elemental related to fire. If you don't know what a salamander is, look it up. They used to believe that salamanders could catch things on fire. If you touched one, you'd burn yourself. Or not exactly sure where that idea came from. To be honest with you, I'm probably not as researched in that as I should think. But I think it's because they tend to crawl out of warm places, because obviously being a reptile, they need to be in places that are warm. And so you see them sometimes, I think they were seen around volcanoes and things like that. So people assumed they came out of the fire, out of the lava itself and out of the rocks. But they are very similar to snakes in that they are creatures that move back and forth between the physical world and the element world. And I also will utilize dragons for fire. I utilize dragons also for spells in which I'm trying to gain intelligence in something, or perhaps a view that I can't often get just from, you know, where I am in terms of, because they are known to fly or are often depicted flying. I will use those, but I will use either dragons or salamanders when working with the element of fire, sometimes both. Excuse me, I may call upon both to help with that. And I'll get into specifics on the types of workings that you do with these creatures and these beings. I keep saying creatures, but these beings in just a few minutes. Other magical allies that you may feel called upon. I've talked a little bit about dragons. You may feel called upon. I consider gods and goddesses or deity of any kind to fall under that magical ally. I kind of set them in their own category because they are gods, goddesses. They are the creators, right? Or our embodiment of the creators. I personally, my personal belief is that there is one divine feminine, one masculine feminine, but they divide themselves out and make themselves known to us and to different cultures in different ways that we can relate to. And once they have divided that out, each deity becomes its own deity. So for example, I would not put Hecate on the same altar as I do like Caradwyn, right? I consider them separate beings at this point because they've been differentiated out as individuated aspects of the divine. And so I see them as separate within each other, but I believe in the overall feminine divine, if that makes any sense to anybody besides me. But I would not mix the two. To me, that's disrespectful to that aspect of the goddess, right? So when you're working with something, especially if you're working with a deity that is outside of the norm for you, for example, I align with the Morrigan. I am a daughter of the Morrigan, but that doesn't mean that I may not seek aspects of the goddess in that are more prevalent in other forms of the goddess, such as Caradwyn, for that cauldron of, you know, Awen, being in the druid vein. I really will call upon Caradwyn when I'm needing to think outside the box or creative workings or things like that, and I may ask her to aid me by bringing me the Awen from the cauldron. So the cauldron is not something that's associated with the Morrigan. She's more the gatherer of souls, battle, death, sex, rebirth, and she is intimately tied to the land itself. So protection for my home, clearing of my home, that kind of thing may be something where I work more in terms of asking her assistance in my spellcraft specifically. She is the goddess I turn to when I'm doing divination because she was, like Hecate, associated with what we would call witches today and, you know, magical practitioners. So, any hoodlies, that would be a creature. For me, creatures often associated with night and day. So, for example, general creatures you might see when you walk out the door, an owl. An owl can be a very powerful magical ally in terms of getting something that you want that's hard to find. Right? Because owls have excellent vision, excellent hearing. They hunt at night when it's dark, when most of us have a hard time seeing. And so they are able to zone in on that target and acquire it very adequately. So I might call upon an owl. That can be a magical ally. But I think I'm kind of getting off track there. Let me go back and talk about the sylphs for a minute. Sylphs are the elementals for, obviously, the element of air. So we have undines for water, gnomes for earth, dragons or salamanders for fire, salamanders particularly. And then we have sylphs for air. Now, to me, a sylph is something that I kind of associate with, like, butterflies. For some reason, when you say sylph, I see a butterfly in my mind, usually a purple and blue one, and I have no idea why. But to me, that kind of represents all the delicacy yet strength of air. When you think about a butterfly, they are extraordinarily delicate yet very resilient. And so being able to take in that element of kind of going with the flow, knowing when to beat against the wind and work against something. And so if I am doing a working where I feel like I'm in an uphill battle kind of thing, I'm tending to go against the way I feel the tide is taking me, and I'm needing lift to get out of a situation. Excuse me. Ooh, I don't know what's going on with me today. I will call upon sylphs to help me kind of lift me up out of that, right? So that is something, that is, those are some ways in which I will utilize those creatures. Or those elementals. I keep saying creatures. That's really not a good term. So anyhow, you can also look at plants as a magical ally. And you probably do this without even giving it any consideration, because we often will incorporate herbs in our spellcraft. We often incorporate herbs into our cooking, and some of us imbue that with magical intent as well. So when you do that, you are basically making that plant a magical ally. And I look at that vein of it a little bit differently than I do like herbal magic. It's more than just knowing what the plant's magical qualities are, right? You are actually calling upon that plant at that point in time to become a magical ally. And I know some people that never use herbs in their workings. I personally can't imagine having a practice in which I don't use herbs. But I have seen some people that do not use herbs widely in their magical practice. But I have found them to be an extremely powerful ally, because remember that plants are a living creature as well. They have an essence and a spirit that goes along with that. Same with trees or branches or rocks or anything that you kind of incorporate. All of those things can be magical allies. I'm more trying to kind of contain this to like elementals, deities, ancestors. Your ancestors are one of your best magical allies. You can't see them, you can't hear them, you can't talk to them physically, right? But on that plane of spiritual being between the fourth, fifth, and higher dimensions, we can connect with our ancestors. And believe you me, your ancestors do have a vested interest in your success, because you are their legacy. So do not be afraid to call upon your ancestors, even if you aren't really well connected. And that is something that I get some questions about a lot from people. It's kind of surprised me how frequently this question has come up. And that is, you know, if I was adopted and I don't really know, you know, what my heritage is, or I've never had a genetic test done, so I don't really know what my heritage is, what do you feel connected to? Your ancestors are going to call to you. So if you feel particularly connected to a time or a culture that you feel is outside of yours, it could be that you're connecting to something from a previous lifetime. It could be that your ancestors are calling to you. And like it or not, when you live multiple lifetimes, you have a lot of ancestors, right? So do not be fearful in stepping into that and saying, you know, I may not know for a dead set fact that my background is Irish, but I feel very connected to the land of Ireland and to the greenery of Ireland and the imagery and the aesthetic of Ireland. And I feel that that's a calling from my ancestors. So I'm going to reach out to my ancestors of this background to aid me. You know, if I have ancestors from wherever, then I call upon you to aid me in this working, you know, help your seed to grow, blah, 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 whatever it takes. So, you know, you're welcome to dig into your genetic history. I'm a little squeamish about getting some of these genetic tests, because you don't know who's getting their hands on that information. And I realize a lot of our information is public and out there anyway. Your fingerprints are on file with the police department if you have any kind of, like in my case, I have a professional license in the state of Texas. It requires fingerprinting, so I know they've got my fingerprinting. Your doctor probably has your entire genetic profile somewhere, but, you know, I know those sources have them. So in terms of just swabbing my cheek and sending it in, I'm a little squeamish about that. I do know our family history is mixed, and so I feel very comfortable in calling upon my Celtic roots, my Welsh roots, my French roots. I have some Norwegian, and we were told that our great-grandmother was Cherokee. We don't have any written documentation that proves that, but it is something that I feel aligned to. And I don't want to go into a big discussion of cultural appropriation, because you don't see me dressing up in regalia and going out, you know, and doing things. And but I do like to take images from Native Americans, and particularly Cherokee, who I feel a great deal of respect for, because one, I know my some of the things that my grandmother told me at some of the family reunions, my great-grandmother actually told me at some of the family reunions, and some of the things she taught me to do, specifically fire scrying. And although I was very young, I remember these things very clearly. I feel very connected to that. For her, it was a very real thing. So I have no problem with calling upon those of my family line that are of a Native American culture, even though I don't have specific proof that that's my genetic line. God, I hope this is making sense to somebody besides me. So feedback is always good. Please feel free to leave comments. Please try to keep them constructive. And I try not to be too, you know, offended by people. But honesty is always appreciated. So I just like respect also. I try to be respectful. I hope everyone else is respectful. Now, gods and goddesses. So we discussed using elementals. We discussed using goddesses. I talked a little bit about fae energies. I've talked about plant energies. I've talked a little bit about animal energies like the wolf, the bear, the boar. They no longer dwell upon these shores. Owls, you know, and their imagery. If you are into Celtic mythos, then, you know, owls are also associated with Plediwyd. And if you're not familiar with that, you'll want to look that up and look at that, and you'll know exactly what I mean. But any kind of workings like that. So flying in sight, zoning in on a target, when I'm doing things like that, I will incorporate those. Using the powers of sun and moon, obviously, we do a lot of that just in our day-to-day practice for most of us. But those are also magical allies. And again, you know, we kind of take it for granted. And I think that's part of my concern and why I felt called to do this podcast today, because I see a lot of people that don't understand that all of those things are magical allies to us. You can stand here and cast a spell just with your own words, but guess what? You're still using the element of air for that if you're speaking out loud, because the air is coming out of your lungs, right? So in some way, we cannot separate ourselves from our magical allies. And so I feel like we need to just be more cognizant of that and know that we can call upon them, that they are here to aid us, that, you know, we're kind of all in this together sort of thing. So now comes the topic that I had brought up to me. Okay, so you're calling upon a magical ally, and someone else is calling upon a magical ally, and maybe your magic is opposing. Who's going to win out? Who knows? Who knows? We don't question that. We don't probably even think too much about that, unless it's specifically we think someone's doing something against us, or, you know, we're trying to do something for someone or against someone ourselves. But, you know, I trust that in the end, the divine is going to make the ultimate decision as to whose magic wins out in a specific instance. And it could be you both get a little of what you want. Compromise. But I don't want to, that's a topic that could be discussed in full on a whole other show. So I just wanted to stick to things that we can utilize. Insects make wonderful magical allies, especially things that are hardy like ants or bees. The sting of bees specifically, or wasps. I personally do not kill something to use it in my spellcraft, but I am 100% not against using something that I come across in my path. I have an avid critter jar that's, you know, collecting daily things that I find that have passed. It is still that creature. And although their physical being is no longer there, it still carries an element of that energy with it. So I will utilize those things. Feathers, teeth of animals, things like that. Sometimes you'll just come across these things. So they make wonderful magical tools and allies as well, because then you can call upon the essence of that specific creature to aid you in your working as well. So that was just kind of a small stint that I wanted to do. I realized that this is a shorter podcast. I'm hoping to offer more lengthy podcasts. Again, as I said in the last podcast, I'm trying to get some new guests lined up for some longer chats, but I do enjoy doing these small little 30-minute stints for you, hoping that it can give you some information that you can move forward in your practice, or that it might open a dialogue between us in terms of magical practice, because I do love magic, and I love witchcraft, and I love being an ovate, and I love dabbling, or not really dabbling. Ooh, that's a super bad word. We need to do a podcast on that, dabbling. But I do love to dabble in discussions about the craft. There is no dabbling in the craft. You're in it or you're not. When you dabble, you make mistakes and you do things that you can't correct or that are very difficult to correct. But I do love to dabble in discussions about it. So anytime anybody wants to strike up a conversation, please let me know. I really enjoy sharing my experiences and information with everybody. So again, you know, utilizing the elementals, utilizing mythical creatures, the unicorn, dragon, other creatures that may be useful to you, you can incorporate those. Servitors. Let me talk about servitors really quick. That is absolutely a powerful magical ally. And servitors can be created in a lot of different ways. I use two in my everyday practice. I feed them daily because they are living creatures once again. So I make sure that they are fed. Mine happen to like water. I have tried other things. They just don't care for it. Water seems to suit them. But I have two dragons, and I don't want to give their names out, but I have a very close personal relationship with these two dragons. And I actually have little dragons that are sitting on my shelf. The weird thing is they seem to move about. Like you'll see them turn, things like this, really weird. Well, not really weird. I mean, they are my servitors, right? They've been imbued with the breath of my life. And so these are allies for me that I utilize every single day. One has been charged with kind of a personal assistant role, which was a tip I got from Patty Negri. And the other is specifically for bringing business and financial security to my home. So, and to my businesses. She is just a delight. But I talk to them. I greet them every day. I give them their food every day. I thank them for their time. And, you know, once they are no longer needed, they will be let go. I don't want to say disposed of, because what you want to keep in mind is servitors and magical allies are not something for you to use and dispose of. And I want to put that out there right now, loud and clear. Again, always thank them, offer them something in return, and be grateful for them, and don't disrespect them. When you just cast aside something or you neglect it, once you have given it an existence like a servitor, then you are lax in your magic, and you're going to end up regretting that, because those allies will not be there to you in the future if you continue in that kind of behavior. So make sure that you're being respectful and understanding that even if you created it, you need to let it go and release it back out once you no longer need it. Do not continue to just hang on to it and let it starve spiritually, because it will begin to drain your energy too. It has to gain it from somewhere. So please be mindful if you create servitors that when you are done needing their services, that you be respectful to that creature you have created and that you release it back out so that it can go and manifest elsewhere for other things. So thank you again for listening to this episode on Magical Allies, and I hope to have you back at the Purple Broom Apothecary and the Purple Mystic Podcast in future broadcasts. Thank you so much, and blessed be.